fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
There is so much to go over today. MSNBC is saying that Trump facilitated Epstein's death, and yet you're the conspiracy theorist. You're the dangerous one. Even though you have, you know, Cuomo just going crazy on somebody, even though he's called himself Fredo, just going crazy on people, and yet you're the one that is out of control. You're the one that is causing all of the problems with fossil fuels. And it's important that we don't have fossil fuels anymore, according to AOC. In fact, I'm going to take it a step further. It's now being recommended that you only go poop every other day now to help the environment. Yeah, yeah. That and the real story that is going on of people actually under siege, people who are standing up for their own freedom and pleading, please, America, hear us. And we're not. The truth behind what's happening in Hong Kong in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, once upon a time, we lived in a country with wide diversity of opinions and a basic set of shared values. We might not have had the same religion or any religion, but we agreed that life was precious. We might not have belonged to the same political party, but we could all agree that the government shouldn't be in control of every aspect of our life. It's hard to look back through the increasingly foggy lens of time and see that that was once the case and now it's not. But that's why there's the rise of companies like Patriot Mobile, and why Patriot Mobile is so important. Patriot Mobile is America's only conservative cell phone company. The company is run by veterans who believe in the good heart of this country the way you do. That's why I have switched. Thousands of others all across America have made the switch. And there's a special offer. You can upgrade your phone to a brand new Moto Z3 Play for only $5 a month if you switch now. It includes a 6-inch screen, expandable storage, high-quality camera, and so much more. No matter what you have, no matter what service you have, they're going to make switching easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Beck. Select your plan. Save $180 on the brand new Moto Z3 Play today. Supplies are limited. Don't wait. You can choose what company you do business with. Stop giving your money to people who are giving that money to things like Planned Parenthood. And that's what's happening if you're with one of the big cell companies. Get the same great service, get your values served, and not sold out from underneath you every time you make a phone call. It's patriotmobile.com/Beck. Switch now. patriotmobile.com/Beck. I remember it was the summer of 1989, and I remember seeing something happen in China, and this was a magical 5 years for freedom. Communism was falling apart, Berlin Wall was coming down, and people in China, students, made a Statue of Liberty in Tiananmen Square. They were standing up for freedom and the rights of all men. It was amazing. And then everything turned June 3rd, 1989. 200,000 soldiers crawled through the streets of Beijing, aiming their Type 56 assault rifles at students and protesters. They were charged with forcibly ending a counter-revolutionary riot. It was muggy that day. A raving heat overtook the air. Riots usually happen in the summertime. The heat does something to us, I think. The protesters, who had been protesting for 7 weeks, tried everything to stop the infantry soldiers from the People's Liberation Army. They sang traditional folk songs. They begged. They pled. A Type 56 AR fires 650 rounds per minute, one bullet right after another. Many of the soldiers' rifles were loaded with expanding bullets. These are the kinds that are banned even in the use of warfare by The Hague. But the soldiers loaded their guns with those bullets and opened fire on the group of students and protesters. By the end of it, 200 civilians had died. And that's the number according to the Chinese government. The truth is more devastating. Estimates run to over 10,000 people died. You can do that in places like China. Well, that was the summer of 1989, and here we are in the summer of 2019, just a little over 30 years ago. And in China, the memory of the massacre has been roundly suppressed. You know, we still don't know the fate or even the name of the guy who stood in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square. We don't know what happened to many of those people. The facts have been suppressed. The government has never apologized. Officially, footage and audio and photographs of the massacre don't even exist. And don't think it can't happen again. Don't assume technology will stop a human problem. Look at what happened in Iran, for one. The Tiananmen massacre doesn't appear in search results. Did you know that? Look it up. Tiananmen massacre. You can search for it. But if you're anywhere in China, it's part of what's called China's Great Firewall. Prolific government censorship. Chinese children don't read about it in their textbooks at all. Even the day after the attacks, June 4th, there was no mention of the attacks on the propaganda-driven news. The only hint that something terrible that had happened was that the news anchors were all dressed in black in solidarity with the slain protesters. Some of those anchors were fired immediately. One of them banned from ever reporting the news ever again in China. What we're seeing now in Hong Kong is history, but it will most likely be a history that only the West will remember, if we even pay attention. Hong Kong is home to 7 million residents, with 30 million visitors and tourists every single year. Yesterday, riot police stormed the Hong Kong International Airport in an effort to break up the protests that have raged through the city for weeks. The Chinese government decried the protesters and their actions as acts of terrorism. Like with Tiananmen, many of the protesters weren't even trying to overthrow the government. At first, they were just protesting the extradition bill that would require a Hong Kong resident who doesn't pay taxes to the government in Beijing to serve time in and on mainland China. Crackdowns by Hong Kong police made things only worse. The U.S. State Department said that the U.S. is, quote, staunch in our support for freedom of expression and freedom of peaceful assembly in Hong Kong, end quote. But that's about as strong as we're going to get. So far, the protesters have proven adept at broadcasting the truth. But is anybody listening? Because as we've seen before, they're going to need far more than that. And who knows how much worse things really are? Who knows what information is being suppressed by the state-owned government? Beijing has ratcheted up the inflammatory rhetoric. China media has even said to Hong Kong protesters are asking for self-destruction. According to the New York Times, in recent days, China has more aggressively stirred up nationalist and anti-Western sentiment using state and social media. It has manipulated the context of images and videos to undermine the protesters. Chinese officials have begun branding the demonstrations as a prelude to terrorism. End quote. President Trump has remained calm after announcing on Twitter that the Chinese government is moving troops to the border with Hong Kong. He wrote, quote, everyone should remain calm and safe. Beijing described the anti-government protest as deranged acts. these people will be red flagged at best, that they have spouts of terrorism. And they added that any further violence will be severely punished without leniency and without mercy. And a government like China means that. And if we're not careful, the Chinese government will attack its own people and we won't notice. How are the Google results on China today? How about Facebook, these companies that are more than willing to help China in their government suppression of people? The morning after Tiananmen Square, the massacre, PLA troops tore down the statue of the goddess of democracy, which had become a symbol of the protesters' hope. But we've seen through the propaganda. We all remember that one photo of the one man standing in front of the row of tanks, ready to die, if that's what it took. Novelist Pico Liar said, quote, "The heroes of the tank picture are two, the unknown figure in front of the juggernaut and the driver who rose to the moral challenge by refusing to mow down his compatriot," end quote. The picture of the tank man, one of the most iconic images of the 20th century, is not known by the billions of people in China, especially among younger people. Last week, the head of the central government's office in Hong Kong warned members that it is now a, quote, life or death fight for the very future of Hong Kong. There is no room for retreat, end quote. There's a great song by Charles Wright and the Watts, 103rd Street Rhythm Band. It's about our collective humanity. If all men were truly brothers, why then do we hurt one another? Love and peace from ocean to ocean. Someone please second my emotion. We may not know what to do about it as individuals, but let's not act like this isn't happening. Who is the unknown rebel? Who will be the man who stands out in front of a bank, groceries in each hand? We don't know who's going to do that this time. We've yet to find out. But we do know what's at stake, and it's at stake all around the world. Freedom. Freedom from tyranny. Real, true democracy, not mob rule. There's a reason the protesters have been waving American flags through the air. In Hong Kong, they're fighting for their freedom of assembly, their freedom of speech, their freedom of press. They're fighting for the same things that are all outlined in our First Amendment, something unique to the United States of America. And if you have any doubts about how great our true rights are, how great our founders were, how great our Constitution is, listen to what happened yesterday in Hong Kong. Chinese protesters holding American flags and singing this song.
Christ us through the perilous fight, all the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in there, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does the star sprinkle banner yet wave? Oh, the
we may not be able to help them as individuals, but we should at least recognize what they're fighting for. What they're fighting for is something that most of us just take for granted. Our thoughts and prayers are with those in Hong Kong and all of those anywhere on earth that recognize the basic human rights and are willing to stand, not only die for, but they've found something to live for. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Moore's Law, but it's the idea that the processing speed of a computer chip will double every 2 years. And we're seeing that happen. And it's starting to compound now. It is the difference between, I think it's 24 steps. 24 steps, if you count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, will take you across a room. But it's 24 or 30 steps that if you double each step, it will take you not across the room, but will actually take you to the moon. That's how compounding Moore's Law actually works. And we're now starting to realize, holy cow, we're almost at the moon. We've been constant witnesses to this action, and nobody knows where the end of this really is. Computers have populated now every corner of our day-to-day world, and it is no surprise that cybercrime has risen to be one of the most virulent strains of evil in our society. And countries like China are behind a lot of it. The sad truth is it's only going to get worse, and that's why there is LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats and keeps you informed if and when somebody out there tries to get a hold of or sell your information online. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees the threats that you might miss on your own. So join now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using the promo code BECK. Call 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go over to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK for an extra 10% off. That's LifeLock.com, promo code BECK. You can also use the promo code BECK when you call 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com. We break for 10 seconds, station ID. Hello and welcome. So we're excited today. We are announcing a Christmas show that I'm going to be doing. I haven't done, how many years has it been? 10, 12 years?
Maybe it has been that long, but it's been a long time.
Been a long time since we did a Christmas show. And we've done, you know, I used to do these every year and I loved them. And it was a time to tell family stories, and there's no politics in it. It's all really comedy and heart. The search for the true meaning of Christmas, and you don't want to miss it. New stories and some of the classic Christmas stories and the true meaning of Christmas. It is happening one night only, and you're going to be, if you are a member of The Blaze, if you have subscribed to The Blaze, there's going to be an exclusive pre-sale period for Blaze Media subscribers. You're going to enter the password. Am I supposed to say this part on the air? Yeah. You'll enter the password Blaze Media, and you're going to get exclusive early access to the pre-sale tickets. They'll go online, I think, next week. The show is going to be December 7th. A night which will live in infamy in Salt Lake City at Kingsbury Hall. The tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. We have a exclusive pre-sale right now for Blaze Media subscribers. Tickets and information are all available at glennbeck.com. So go to glennbeck.com if you want to get the tickets. Again, it's one show.
Yeah, you got to use the password Blaze Media. And remember, it's not Blaze Media. It's Blaze Media! Because it has to be in all capitals.
Okay.
So Blaze Media is the password. Don't use Blaze Media. Use Blaze Media!
Why are you screaming?
That's just what you have to do.
Okay, so it's all capitals. Blaze Media is the password. Mm-hmm. Find out all the information. And it is, again, December 7th, Salt Lake City, Kingsbury Hall. We'll be sending out messages to all Blaze subscribers And so can you get the tickets on sale for general public on Friday? And this is go to glenbeck.com and find
yes,
out.
Yes, general on sale Friday, August 16th, 10 a.m.
Okay. All right, so they're on sale now for anybody who wants to use the password Blaze Media.
Blaze Media!
Thank you, all caps. Mm-hmm. All right, glenbeck.com. How are you, Stu?
I'm very well, Glenn. Luckily, there's nothing going on in the world that's leading to any chaos.
No.
So I'm very calm. Everything's going fine.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be fine.
Everything is okay. What is the song from the lake? Awesome. Everything is awesome. Everything is awesome.
It looks like there is some good news, though, with the tariffs and such, seemingly at least being delayed until after the holidays, which is a positive, at least in the very short term. So hopefully that continues. But the stuff in Hong Kong is pretty serious. And I'm very nervous about which candidates are going to make this next debate. It looks like it might only be 10 or 11.
Oh, you're kidding.
We're
going to
lose
me.
Like half the field here, guys.
Oh, no.
I'm very disappointed. Really?
Well, we're not going to lose the average Joe, Beto, are we?
I think Beto's going to be okay.
Did
but, you know, we might lose Marianne.
Oh,
we may
shut
lose
up.
Marianne.
Well, does she you're change her own tire? Will she? Back.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
All right, right now the economy is in pretty good place. It hasn't always been this way, and it's not going to be that way again at some point in the future if the normal fluctuations of the market occur the way they usually do. But right now, if you have a mortgage or if you're buying a home, you have an incredible opportunity right now. American Financing, a family-owned and operated company which employs salary-based mortgage consultants, meaning they work for you. They're not getting kickbacks from the bank. They're going to give you a full mortgage review. A 10-minute phone call could save you tens of thousands of dollars over the terms of your loan. Please check this out. If you are fiscally responsible and you know what your priorities are, and you know that, hey, we got to save some stuff in the good times, now is the time to look at refinancing or a new loan. American Financing, 800-906-2440 or AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
All right, blazetv.com, promo code is Glenn. You get $10 off for your membership. Big show on TV tonight. Make sure to check it out.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/back. That's Tecovas.com/back. It's amazing. We were just talking about China. Let me play this audio from MSNBC, an analyst that is liking now Trump supporters to members of a terrorist organization. Listen to this.
You're right. Attacking his followers is going to be counterproductive. He demands that loyalty, and they are loyal. So if you call Trump followers racist en masse, they simply coalesce around each other and become even more defensive and protective of the leader, just as they would in, say, a terrorist organization to compare to the radicalization.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Or exactly what happened with the Democrats with Barack Obama. Or what happens with everyone. That is human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Human nature.
Just like terrorists. So you're saying
this
is a terrorist.
You know what's really, truly amazing to me is MSNBC can also say this on the same day. Listen to this. What a guest advises on how to how to beat Trump. You see?
You don't communicate it to them. You beat them. You beat them. They are not a majority of this country. That's the majority of white people in this country are not a majority of the country. And all the people who are not fooled by this need to come together, go to the polls, go to the protests, do whatever you have to do. You do not negotiate with these people. You destroy them.
And by the way, the black man said beat them, meaning in a poll, in a, an election.
Figuratively.
Yeah, so don't come for the black man. He said beat them in a poll.
No. Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it.
They're so adorable.
But go ahead and go after the white woman who said that these were targeted for election campaigns.
Yeah, bigots. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So this is the same kind of propaganda, however, that you're seeing happen with China. It's the same thing. This is exactly what they're saying about the protesters in Hong Kong.
They're terrorists.
Yeah, they're terrorists. Got to stop them. Got to stop them. Trying to destroy everything.
It's been amazing to watch because what was it? Has it been, I think, 16 weekends of protests? And on the first one, they had that rally and they had the pictures of how they took over Hong Kong.
Yeah.
They said it was 1 million or 2 million. It looked like 10 million or 20 million. Mm-hmm. It looked like everybody in Asia was there. And then, so that made such an impression that they put that bill, that extradition to Beijing bill, on hold. That still didn't stop them because it wasn't enough. They wanted to ensure their freedom. It's amazing to see these people go out week after week after week and continue to do these peaceful demonstrations. They don't take freedom for granted.
Yeah, they know this is the end. Have you noticed that when you watch the video, have you seen all the green laser pointers?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what that's for?
No.
That's to confuse the facial recognition of China.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to put it, you know, when you ever see the cops coming, they're putting laser pointers all over, green laser pointers, and just trying to confuse the cameras on the cops, confuse the cameras up above so you can't facially recognize anybody. These guys are all dead. And they know this is the last chance. If China comes in and really controls Hong Kong the way they're going to, they're done. They're in a box, and this is their last chance.
And there's military forces massing at the border.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're getting ready to do it.
Yeah.
And those are just exercises, Pat.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
The exercise is because China doesn't have any other room for exercises.
Couldn't they exercise right at home?
Well, they're right across the water there.
Oh, okay.
But they don't have any other room in the country to be able to set up a large military exercise other than right there by the large city of Hong Kong. There's just no other space.
There's like a lot of space. It's like America's running out of space.
We're running out of space.
Yeah, we're running out of space.
You know, it's heartbreaking because are we going to ignore them? It looks like it. We ignored the Kurds. In fact, you remember the Extreme song, More Than Kurds?
No, that's more than words.
Let me ask you this. We ignored the Iranians. We ignored the Kurds. We're going to ignore Hong Kong, I guess.
If you're president of the United States right now, what do you do?
I use diplomatic sources to pressure them behind the scenes.
I come out and
maybe put on trade sanctions and get a coalition of trade partners together to, you know, talk about trade sanctions.
Really? You see, the Dow is down 400 points today. It was up yesterday about 400 points because we relieved the trade sanctions. See, this is the problem. We already have trade sanctions going and it's killing our economy.
Yeah.
And so he pulls them off yesterday, which is a sign of weakness and really can be interpreted as non-support. I don't know if you saw the stories that were out, you know, from Hong Kong, from China mainly, and from the Chinese point of view, is that Trump caved and he has no way of affecting China at all. China's now the big dog and they can do whatever they want in Hong Kong. Well, that's because he saw the economy was starting to come apart and you have to remove some of those trade sanctions. So he said, up until Christmas, what is he going to do? You're going to put more trade sanctions on? You'll flush the economy. Then who do we help? Then who do we help? I mean, No, I mean, this is one of those moral things where because of the situation we're in, do you remember? And we talked about this. John F. Kennedy talked about FDR talked about this, that there's going to come a time when Social Security happens and it there's no money in the lockbox and there won't be any good options left because we won't have any money. And so everything that we do will be a bad choice. Everything will hurt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're there now with our deficit and everything else. Everything that we want to do is going to hurt us. We're now in that situation with Iran, almost with Iran. We're definitely there with North Korea. We're almost there with Russia, and we are there with China. China is ready. I mean, China has been playing the West, and we have not seen it come. We have just not seen it coming. We have dismissed them over and over again as posers, as people who can only steal technology. That was true in 2008. That is not true in 2019. They have changed, and they have done it expertly with a plan. You know, that's the one thing about central planning. It never works with the economy, but it certainly does with strategy on how to take over other countries and take over the world. They have done it with their tech partners. They've come in and they've stole everything.
Well, they've also done it with the hybrid of capitalism so that they could get 400 million of their own people out of poverty.
Correct.
And they have their own market now.
Correct. So now we are looking at China. Just look at 5G. We're looking at China controlling all of the information around the world and being able to control people. What they're really protesting about in Hong Kong is they're free. They don't want any of the surveillance crap. They don't want to be shipped off to a concentration camp. Mm-hmm. That's the extradition thing. That means if I protest, I go to a concentration camp in China. I don't think so. We're not going to support them because I don't think we have any bullets in our gun. Well, we have no bullets.
The best hope for them, I think, is what you guys just talked about, which is a big part of this capitalist revolution with China is Hong Kong, right? Like a big part of this economic benefit, a huge part of
which is why they've left them alone this long.
So maybe, and this is why I think if you're a protester and you want freedom, you've got to be tempted at least to be sitting there. Let's just say you're in your high rise, you're in Hong Kong, and you're seeing all these protests going on. There's got to be a temptation to say, look, I want freedom as much as you do, but don't antagonize these guys. They've been leaving us alone for a long time, and yes, it's going in the wrong direction, but if we continue to go and protest in the hundreds of thousands in the streets, eventually China's just going to say, screw it, we're taking the whole thing over again, no more special rules for you guys, and it's just going to be over. They will eventually iron fist this thing unless Hong Kong wins their own separation. And
they won't.
The odds of that happening without help from someone like us is almost
zero.
Yeah, it's zero, basically.
Here's what we're watching is a repeat of history, and I think it's the repeat of Poland. Poland thought that everybody would stand up for him, and the world said, we'll stand up for you. Don't worry. He's not going to take it. He marched in, Hitler. He took Poland, and the West did nothing. They did nothing about it because they thought at the time they didn't have any bullets in their gun, and they didn't. The United States wasn't going to go in. We weren't going to join them. Dunkirk had just happened. England was the people behind the Nazi Iron Curtain in Poland. They didn't have any idea if England even still stood. The last thing they had heard about England was the Germans had them at Dunkirk, had them surrounded and ready to just slaughter and chop off England's head. Then the lights went out and they didn't know. They thought England had fallen too because nobody was coming to rescue them. Nobody was doing anything. I mean, we're seeing the same thing. And the poor people in China, because of people like Google, Google is I think they are one of the most evil companies in history.
Their slogan is don't be evil.
No, they changed that slogan.
Well, but they remember it.
Which
hopefully.
Is really weird, isn't it?
It's a weird change.
It is weird.
Yeah. So they are so damn evil They are working with the Chinese, and the reason why they're doing it is not just because of the market. I don't think that that Google cares as much as we think it does about having China as a market for their search engine. What they care about is AI. And if they can have another billion people in that system teaching AI on how the human brain works, they will have access to more people than anyone else in the world. And that's what they're after. China and Google are both after the same thing. And Google thinks if we can get all the Chinese people and the Western world, we'll have it. Because China only has China. They don't have the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Google wants both of them. And this is just a race for AI. It is so unbelievably immoral because Google is working and helping China, helping them round up people.
So if you're Trump, what do you do about this situation? You just leave them hang?
The first thing I do is today I take all trade sanctions away. All trades.
Take them off.
Take them off.
And that looks like,
not just on China, Europe, everybody. Yeah. Done. I'm done with the trade war because he has to win this election. And if the economy goes to hell, he doesn't win. What was it? Bank of America came out and said there's now a 1 in 3 chance that we're in a recession
in the next year.
In the next year.
And if that happens, I mean, you know,
right.
It's almost impossible for a president to win in that
and
scenario.
If you don't think, listen to people like Bill Maher, and there was some other person in the media that just joined him this week that said, I'm hoping for an economic breakdown. If you don't think that China, Russia, whoever else is hoping for an economic breakdown, if you don't think that there are people at the highest levels who think they are beyond, you know, a George Soros, you think he's going to be hurt by a breakdown? No, he'll capitalize on a breakdown. If you don't think that there are people that will do everything they can for an economic breakdown, you're fooling yourself. Donald Trump must do everything he can, and the first thing he has to do is remove the trade barriers. Do you know that our brains are not designed to remember pain accurately? It's kind of a biological defense mechanism that allows us to live better lives. It helps moms go through childbirth. If you had an exact memory, you're not going through childbirth a second time. You were. What's amazing to me is you were just screaming, "Get it out of me!" 2 minutes before. And now everything is fine. The people who have really tortured life are those seven people, I think, that there are on Earth that have perfect recollection. For some of us, pain is a daily thing, and it is a constant reminder that life is really hard. If you're suffering from pain, chronic pain, what price would you pay to make that pain go away? What price would you put on making it go away for a loved one? I highly recommend Relief Factor. And, you know, if you're on fentanyl, Relief Factor, I don't think is going to do it for you. But if you were taking any drug, or you're considering taking drugs from the doctor, please try this first. This was designed by doctors. This is something that will relieve your pain. It has in my life to a astonishing degree. If you want a drug-free, natural way to ease your pain, you have to reduce the inflammation, and that is exactly what Relief Factor does. Call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or click on relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Now, there's a couple of stories that I think we need to pay attention to. First of all, a friend of ours, the CEO of Overstock.com came out with a story and is now not talking about it. He came out with a story that said that he was involved in the investigation of Russia with Trump and Clinton. We're going to explain this to you tonight at 5 o'clock. It is quite amazing what he's saying and what he is charging. And I want you to hear this tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to go over it in about an hour and a half as well here on radio, but we'll really lay it out for you on TV tonight at 5. You don't want to miss it. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn to sign up. You'll save 10%. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use that promo code Glenn. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. A show you do not want to miss, especially if you think there might be something going on at the Justice Department and FBI.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4-Minute Buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu with the second hour of the show.
Thank you so much. I want to talk to you a little bit about the home buying season. It's here. Real estate conditions looking excellent for most of the country. Equity is on the rise. Rates are low. Prices are affordable right now. Your dream home is within reach, whether it's your first home, next home, or forever home. What I ask you is to not get behind the eight ball and buy a home that is too much for you. Or to get into some crazy kind of mortgage. Instead, mortgage rates are lower than they have been for the last year. The prices are low. You can lock in a fixed rate right now. And even if you've just purchased a home, you might want to call American Financing, see about a refi now. You could save tens of thousands of dollars through the lifetime of the mortgage. And some people can save as much as $1,000 every single month. I mean, it's crazy what can be done. AmericanFinancing.net. They don't work for the banks. They work for you. So they're not going to get you into some sketchy kind of thing that puts you behind the eight ball. Call them now. Whether you're buying a new house or you want to refi or consolidate your debt, call AmericanFinancing.net. Coast to coast, they have you covered. 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
There is a new poll out on who the Democrats want to be their candidate, and I, for one, could not be more surprised. Well, I mean, I could. It could be Beto, but this is not what I expected at all. What does it mean? We'll give you the latest poll in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, despite what the movies say, we're probably not going to wind up living in an apocalyptic landscape dotted by roving zombies and warlords in Land Rovers. I'm just probably not going to.
I mean, do you have any evidence on that? I mean, you kind of seem to just be throwing that one out there like it's true.
Well, I'm saying probably. Okay. I mean, it does exist. I mean, the chance is out there.
No more than 75% chance, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not going to, have to trade Stu for food, even though I would. I mean, if somebody, if Rush Limbaugh was like, hey, give me Stu, I'll give you food. Okay. But I don't think that's going to happen to you, so rest assured.
I don't think
mainly
so
because Rush is not going to ask for you.
I would say that's the most likely part of that, yeah.
That being said, it is important to be prepared for more realistic situations that can be just as dire because they do happen. Hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, all kinds of natural disasters can strike where you live. And you know what? The economy is a little shaky, and you just don't know what could happen. Breaking news? When it's breaking news, it's too late to prepare. My Patriot Supply is where you need to go. They're the best in the business for helping folks prepare for the unknown. Go to the special website. It is preparewithglenn.com. You can save $100 per four-week food kit right now. That's $100 you'll save off a four-week food kit. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 4 weeks. They last up to 25 years in storage. They're shipped free and discreetly to your doorstep. Order a few today. Save $100 on each one. Prepare yourself so there are no surprises. Go to preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. So huh, there is a new poll out today that shocks me. Stu?
Yeah, it's a little shocking. She's been making a run for quite a bit here. It's a new Economist YouGov poll is out today. Has in the Democratic primary, Joe Biden at 21%, 1 point behind Elizabeth Warren at 20, and then Bernie Sanders at 16, Kamala Harris at 8, Buttigieg and O'Rourke at 5, which is actually a pretty good poll for Beto. Hitting 5 is
well, he did change his own tire.
He did. I think that's probably, it probably gave him at least 2 points there.
Yeah.
Because he was so convincing doing it. This guy's on his hands and knees just fixing cars all the time. Yeah. That's what he does.
Right.
That's his normal day.
You know, you're usually out with somebody who is filming you change a tire too. What are you doing, Beto? I'm just changing a tire. It's so every man.
But 21-20, I mean, at 1 point. I mean, Elizabeth Warren was the one candidate who I thought the Democrats would be smart enough to not nominate because she's just custom built to lose to Donald Trump. She is the perfect candidate to face Donald Trump if you want Donald Trump to win, right? She has very little personality. She does not do well under pressure. She comes off as very inauthentic.
Yeah.
She's not likable. She's an autocrat.
She's a Hillary Clinton.
Technocrat is what I meant to say.
Yeah. She's a Hillary Clinton who is a technocrat. She is a college professor.
Right.
That's not likable.
Yeah. Whoa. And, you know, she obviously has lots of crazy plans. And there's that part, I think, where people... she was smart enough to brand herself as having the person who has a plan for everything.
I think it's smart.
Now, that used to be something that would terrify Americans, right? I mean, that used to be the type of thing where you'd say, well, wait, the central government has a plan for everything?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the type of thing you would advertise back in the day.
Right. Your plan would be to free people from the government.
Right.
It would not be, I've got plans to make the government bigger and more strong and in every aspect of your life.
Right. And even if those were your plans, I mean, you go back to a person like Bill Clinton who would say, look, we know the era of big government is over, but we need to solve these common sense problems and we can all do that together.
Right.
That's not the approach of Elizabeth Warren.
Well, because she is appealing to, I think, a number of people, especially those who are millennials, that... say this system doesn't work. Remember when I was at Fox and I said there's going to come a time when they're going to say, yeah, you know what? I am a socialist. And you know why? Because capitalism doesn't work, because none of this stuff is working right now. There's a lot of people that think this doesn't work. We need a plan. And there's a reason why it doesn't work, because it's neither a capitalist system or a socialist system. It's not a constitutional republic anymore. We have violated the Bill of Rights and the Constitution every single day. Every single day. We did a series of shows on the violations of just the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. Every single one of those had been violated. Even the quartering of soldiers.
Third Amendment, baby. Yeah, because it's the one where they say, except in wartime. So it can still happen in wartime,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
But soldiers can't just show up at your house and quarter themselves there. That's not okay.
Okay, so now, but you have to understand, how it's being violated, you have to understand what that meant. The reason why was because the king would just take soldiers and he'd say, you know what? I think John Adams is a spy. I think he's a danger. I want you to go in. I want you to watch his family. I want you to listen to what they're saying. And I want you to go through his stuff and his papers. Find out what he's up to.
But they're just sleeping at the house. No big deal. They just need a little shelter for the night. So
Correct.
They show up. They do a little searching. They look around. They
Correct.
Do their thing.
Right. And so they were quartered. Well, isn't that what the NSA is doing? I mean, honestly, isn't that what Alexa is doing and Google Home? Now, they're not part of the government, so it's important to remember. They're not constitutionally bound, only the government. But isn't that what the NSA is doing? They're collecting all of this information. They're quartering soldiers. They're just digital soldiers in our house. We are absolutely violating every single part of the Constitution. And that's why things aren't working. We're not a free market. We're not. We are less free economically than the people that they say they want to make us into in Sweden. They have more economic freedom when it comes to starting businesses and everything else than we do now. That's saying something. So that's why this system is falling apart, because we're not doing what our system is supposed to do. We are a broken system, but it's not that it was broken. It's that it has been broken. Somebody's been throwing tire irons into the machinery and into the gears. And it's people like Elizabeth Warren. What's amazing, last night we did a TV show. If you haven't subscribed to The Blaze, what are you thinking? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're a bad person.
I think
that's
you are
how
too.
I think
you're a terrorist.
Yes.
I think you're a terrorist.
Yes.
You're a white supremacist terrorist.
And we're going to come into your house and look around your papers to prove
that's
it.
That's right.
Because we can find
we
stuff
can find
on
it. We'll take away your guns. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen. Anyway,
sincerely, The Blaze has all of the biggest names now, and we're only growing. We're really excited for the plans that are coming, and you should join us. Please join us and become a member. Become a member of the team. Steven Crowder, Mark Levin, everybody. How many shows do we have? 40 different
shows? Something like that.
Something
yeah,
like that. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Anyway, join us at theblazetv.com, and you'll get my show every night. And at 5 o'clock yesterday, I did a show comparing Elizabeth Warren to Woodrow Wilson. She is Woodrow Wilson. What she wants to do is exactly what Woodrow Wilson wanted to do. Woodrow Wilson laid it all out, and they've been trying to do it for 100 years. Now, think of this. Woodrow Wilson was a college professor. He was new to politics. He was kind of roped into it. He becomes president, and what does he want to do? He wants to change the Constitution. He does not want to eat around the corners or the edges. He doesn't want to do that. He wants fundamental transformation. He says, put the hood up on the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence is meaningless,
dead.
And the Constitution needs to be changed. And so does our system of economy. Now, his playbook really came from his main advisor, who actually lived at the White House. Wouldn't this be weird if our president said, hey, Steve Bannon, I want you to live here at the White House with me. And Steve moved his stuff in and was living at the White House. Wouldn't that be weird? That's
Steve's all in on that, by the way. That
yeah,
idea.
I know.
He's happy about that.
I mean, everybody would be up in arms in that. Who is this guy now living at the White House with the president? Well, that's what Woodrow Wilson did with a guy named Colonel House. He wasn't a colonel. It's his title that everybody called him, Colonel House. And he wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator. And it was basically a way to, in a novel form, explain what Woodrow Wilson wanted to do. And in it, it talks about changing the Constitution. And it has a whole new proposed Constitution in it. But listen just to a couple of things and tell me that this isn't Elizabeth Warren and most of the Democrats. Just the dedication to this book, 1912. This book is dedicated to the unhappy many who have lived and died lacking opportunity because in the starting, the worldwide social structure was wrongly begun. What's that saying? It's saying that the system that we have was wrong in the first place, and it's oppressed people. And now all these people are not experiencing any kind of fairness at all. That's the dedication to this book. That is the could be the dedication to almost all of their campaigns. Listen to a couple of other things. The question of taxation was one of the most complex problems with which the administrator had to deal with. Now, What this story is about is there's a civil war in America. If you think progressives don't want a civil war, they don't want to divide and conquer, read Philip Drew Administrator. This was the original progressive plan. So there's a great civil war that happens in America because people are just, you know, the system's broken and there's so much unfairness and inequality and everything else that there's a great civil war. And one of the heroes of the war is Philip Drew, and he gets a medal, and everybody loves him and his medal. And just like him and his dog, it's him and his medal, goes to Washington and changes everything. So he's talking about taxation here. Philip Drew, he's the administrator. He's not a president. Don't call me a president. This is exactly what Hitler did. So you know. Why was Hitler called the Führer? He was called the Führer, the leader, in the same way he's called the administrator. He's not good enough to be called the president. He's not good enough to take, I'm trying to remember, von, what's his name, Hindenburg.
Yeah.
He wasn't good enough to take that title, so he'll just take chancellor. He'll just, I'm more humble than that. That's what Philip Drew is doing here. He's saying, I'm just going to be an administrator. I don't need any fancy titles. And he surrounds himself, listen to this, with taxes. He gets a board of five to advise with him to carry out his very well-defined ideas and plans. I have a plan for everything. So did Philip Drew. Very, very well-defined ideas. But he puts these people together. And on the board for taxes is a political economist, a banker who's thought to be the ablest man of his profession, a farmer who is very successful, and a practical man, a manufacturer, and a congressman. Those are the people that get together, and they know better than everyone else. And they put this plan together, and the administrator just goes ahead and puts it in. Because as it says later, upon assuming charge of the affairs of the Republic, this is Philip Drew, the administrator, this is Elizabeth Warren, you know, given this title now of being the administrator, he had largely retained the judiciary as it was, as it was constituted at the time. But he also made a few changes in the personnel of state and federal officials. Therefore, as yet, there had been no confusion in the public's business. So, in other words, business went on. He kept the Supreme Court. And he made some changes at the state and local level, sure, which, in by the way, included changing state constitutions, pretty much abolishing the states. And he said everything seemed about as usual, you know, with an exception that there was no legislative bodies currently sitting anymore. And the function of lawmaking was confined to one individual, the administrator himself. If you read this and you look at Woodrow Wilson and you look at Elizabeth Warren, they're saying the same things. And you got to remember, this is not a dictator. This is not a dictator. This is just an administrator, somebody who's going to work with the smartest people around, all of the most educated people around, and they'll have a plan for everything. And just give them the power to implement their plan for everything. It is the height of arrogance. It's what scared the living daylights out of the American people with Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson needed a war to do this. But don't worry. Don't worry. If we don't have a war, as conventional thinking tells us, we do have the war on climate change. It is, after all, our World War II.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
You know, you think of the American dream. A lot of people think it's owning a home, but I think it's more of, you know, being able to shoot the fireworks off, you know, in your driveway on 4th of July. Making your own way and then keeping what you've made. Owning a home is making your own way and then keeping what you have made, being able to build on that. owning a home, an anchor of stability in your life, financially or otherwise. That's where you make the memories with your kids. That's your biggest investment all the way around. Your biggest mark will be made within those four walls. So what are you going to do? If you want a home or you want to make sure that you keep your home, you need the right mortgage. Please call American Financing at 800-906-2440 if you fall into one of these categories. You are looking for a new home. The rates are so low, you're going to be able to find something that will, you might be able to even get a loan that has a lower payment than what you're paying in rent right now. Two, if you have a variable or adjustable rate mortgage, get out of that and get into a fixed rate right now. You could save thousands of dollars. Or if you are looking at all of the debt that you have and you're like, you know what? I just want to consolidate it. I want to have one low payment and I want to pay it off as fast and as soon as I can. I don't want to have debt hanging around my neck. Call American Financing. They will help you. They don't work for the banks. They work for you. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them now, 800-906-2440. If you are fiscally responsible, this is a phone call you will make. 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. You know, if you look at what happened in the era of Woodrow Wilson, and you want to know who progressives are, all you have to do is you have to just go back and you look at the things they tried to pass for a constitutional amendment when people were actually still paying attention to the Constitution. In 1911, they wanted to abolish the Senate. Instead, what they did is they changed the way the Senate works. And so now the Senate was a national office instead of a state office. That was one of the biggest changes that we had. Then they did prohibition. They also did the income tax. At the same time they were doing this, in 1912, they wanted a constitutional amendment to forbid interracial marriage. You know, it's very progressive. 1914, they wanted to ban divorce.
It was very progressive. That was largely what progressives were doing at that time. Of course, that's eugenics. That's also marriage licenses were based very largely on that concept.
In 1933... they wanted to limit personal wealth, a constitutional amendment that would limit personal wealth to $1 million. After that, everything went to the state.
Incredible.
Everything. This is a group of people for a very long time that have been working to take what you have and what you've earned and tell you exactly where that money goes and how exactly to live your life. Welcome to the world of Elizabeth Warren.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Life is so busy, sometimes between family and your career. Do you have the time to manage the selling of your house? The short answer is, well, no. You have to manage this because, I mean, I've had a real estate agent where I think their plan on selling my house was blowing up balloons every Saturday. I mean, anyway, not all real estate agents are cut from the same cloth. And I can tell you this because I have experience and I bet you do, too. Real estate agents I trust, the name pretty much says it all. When you need a good real estate agent and you know you don't have the expertise, I can manage it. I'm going to watch them, but I don't have the expertise. Otherwise, I'd sell my home. Here's what you do. You go to real estate agents I trust. What we did is we looked for the agents in your area that have the best practices, that make great real estate agents. They have the template and they have the track record of selling homes. Go there now to buy or sell your next home. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Some really interesting and breaking information on the Russia investigation tonight. BlazeTV.com. Use the promo code Glenn for Glenn's TV show and see the whole story.
Ben Howe, he is an interesting man. Columnist, podcaster, television writer, filmmaker, award-winning political ad producer. I mean, he is he's one of the most sought-after talents in the industry when it comes to messaging and ads. And I think if you look at the story of America, we had good founding fathers. It had principles. And we would stray, but those founders would just keep saying the same principles to us. And we might lose our way, but for a while there, we kept returning to those principles. And now I think we've gotten into a dark period where we're beginning to question whether we're good at all anymore. And that's our biggest problem. We can't even see our upbringing and our principles anymore. And I think Ben Howe's life is almost that same story. Welcome to the program, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the introduction. I really appreciate it.
Do you see what I'm saying about comparing your life to America?
I do. I think, you know, there's lots of people across the country where they run into this situation where their principles are really important to them, but the urgency of their lives also invades. And I think worldwide, what America has tried to do is maintain our values ahead sometimes of what might be the easiest or most urgent solution. And I think that's an important thing. It's what I do try to do. I fail often at it, just like anyone would.
I think we all do.
But
Ben, help me out on this, because you have a new book out called The Immoral Majority, which is a fascinating read. And I want to pose a couple of things to you. For instance,
sure.
Hong Kong. My principle says that we should stand with the people of Hong Kong. However, okay. I'm president of the United States. I probably go with the economy and not risk a global depression or a global war.
Sure.
Have I violated my principles?
I don't believe so, no. Because I think that, and this is one of the things that I talk about in the book with Pastor Robert Jeffries of First Baptist Church in Dallas. There's needs of the government, which is an entity. You know, it's not an individual, it's a person. It has interests that are being protected by people. When we talk about the character of the people that are going to be doing that, I think it's very important, but there are certainly foreign policy needs and sovereignty considerations that are different than what an individual might have to consider. So I think we should be doing what we can to help people around the world, but we do have to protect our own interests. The issue is not whether or not you can maintain your personal principles or, for instance, as Robert Jeffries said, which was outlandish in my opinion, he said of Trump that because he did not exemplify the characteristics that Jesus spoke of on the Sermon on the Mount, that made him a good president. In other words, in a way, he was saying run as far as you can, but that's because he was conflating the individual of Donald Trump with the needs of the country. Certainly the country, functionally speaking, needs to have considerations that aren't the same as the individual.
I think it's why we're so tribal right now. We're expected to agree with everything anyone says or does, and that's not true. I might agree with some of the policies or what they're doing, but I might not like them as an individual, or I may not agree with this one part of it. But it's all or nothing now. Especially on the left.
I would say that I honestly believe it's just as bad on the right. I mean, I hate to be a dirty both sides-er, but the issue that I see is that so much of the ways that, because over the years I was a conservative, I was a Tea Partier. I mean, I'm still a conservative. I was a Tea Partier. I wrote for Red State. You know, I've been on the Blaze. I like everything. And I felt the same things everyone else did, the attacks, the accusations of racism, the political correctness gone awry. But what I've seen since I came out against Trump, and I know that you saw this as well in 2016, was this other side of that. I started getting attacked by the right, and I saw so many similarities with just a different words being used. So mm-hmm. as an example, political correctness is so horrible. Every time somebody, says something against Barack Obama, it's racism. Well, the right doesn't do that, but now every time you say something against Donald Trump, you're a snowflake. It's the same mentality. It's the same attitude. It's the same bad faith. And with that kind of bad faith, we will never bridge the gap. It's going to lead eventually to irreconcilable differences at the level of war. And we have to find a way to be able to talk to each other.
Right. And that's why, again, I don't want to make this about Donald Trump, or I do want to make it about principles and how we look at things. Right now, I can't have a conversation with anyone, because if I'm talking to a diehard Trump supporter, there are things that he does and things that he says that I strongly disagree with, that I'm like, I wish he wouldn't do it. Trade. This is killing us. The way he lives his life, you know, or has in the past. I don't like that at all. But if I talk to somebody and I say, I agree with the president on this, well, then you agree with all the things that he's done or is doing. And it's like, no, I'm not a cafeteria Christian. I know when it comes to Christ, I buy into Christ. But other than that, I am cafeteria. I do look for, this person has this and this person has that. And you're right about bridging the gap. We will never bridge a gap as long as we keep telling each other you're all good or you're all bad.
Well, and I think one of the issues, too, specifically with Christians, which was, not to say they're the only group that has an issue, but coming from that world, it was most urgent to me to address Christians. And one of the things that I really think is a huge problem right now is self-delusion. People, they will lie to themselves to believe they're doing something right, even if they're defying their principles, because underneath it is a desire to fulfill their self-interests. They want their things that are more related directly to their lives, but they also don't want to seem as though they're defying their principles when they, completely backtrack on everything that they said about Bill Clinton in the 90s.
You don't even need to go there, Ben. You make a point in the book about, I've lost my train of thought, about how you, Stu, we were just talking about it.
And hey, Ben. You mentioned this, and I think this is a really profound point, which is...
I got it.
Which is now Glenn's going to say.
Apparently. No, go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, I think this is really profound in that a lot of times we look at things, everyone has, whatever politician it is, you're making difficult decisions. Sometimes there's things that you don't like, and sometimes there's things that you do. And a lot of times Christians would justify that, and we do often, in saying that, we keep losing this, and we keep losing this, and if we don't vote this way, we're going to lose this. And even as high as a religious liberty and all of these really important issues that are really important, but we don't look at it as the way that we probably should, which is not feeling bad for ourselves for losing something, but feeling bad for others who are missing out on the things, eternally from a larger perspective that we're supposed to be representing in our everyday lives.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think that, what happens is you look at what you think is best. People, Judeo-Christian values and what the country was founded on, and you know what's good and you want what's good and you want other people to be a part of that. As you start getting attacked, which, by the way, we were, as Christians, we were told we would be, but you start to be attacked, people start to impugn your motives. It is easy and understandable, I think, to reach a point of exhaustion and anger, and to want vengeance and all of these other things.
So, totally. And everything we're going through is human nature. Everything.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why there's so many warnings against those very things, is to try to instruct us that, you can both have an interest in your life and your children and your job and everything else, but you don't have to do it at the expense of some of the most important things that were said in the Bible, like loving each other, loving your enemy, not returning evil with evil. I mean, these are really fundamental aspects of being a Christian in the world and operating in the world without losing the perspective of the kingdom. And I think that people get so afraid that they're going to lose their stuff that they start to think of it completely backwards. We should be weeping for people who don't join us, not for ourselves and what we lose. People that followed Jesus directly were crucified upside down before they died. I mean, they suffered immensely. Any one of them could have been at that moment just been like, you know what, if I just lie and I say I don't believe this, maybe they'll let me go, and rationalize to themselves, and it's important that I'm here so that I can tell other people. But no, they didn't do that. They stuck to their principles all the way to the point of death, because there are more important things than our suffering.
Ben, can I take you back to something pretty interesting outside of politics, because it made me think of just parenting issue, which is you grew up and you kind of got into a little bit of trouble, became sort of a troubled youth, as they say.
Wait, can I just say, I reject your premise that I grew up.
Yeah, right. and your parents dealt with, I mean, because you got into drugs and everything, your parents dealt with this in a really interesting way, and you kind of looked at that as seemingly like the foundation for the book. I'm curious as to, can you explain that story and what they did? Because as you were explaining it, it seems really noble, and then part of me thought, well, I don't know. I mean, it's scary, I think, as a parent to go through something like that.
And absolutely. And look, I have four kids, so I, you know, at this point, I'm waiting for the universe to enact some revenge on me.
Oh, your mother's words, I hope you have a child just like you. They will come true. Right.
And but so, yeah, I was one of three kids. I was the youngest. And when we moved, my brother went in the Marine Corps, Caleb Howe. He's also does what we do. And my sister went to college. So I was suddenly an only child in another town. I did what I think a lot of teenagers might do in that situation, which was I found a way to adapt. And it turns out if you smoke pot and do other drugs and drink and basically rebel, you can make a lot of friends. At some point that culminated with, you know, I don't know, statute of limitations here, but let's just say I was doing a lot of illegal things. And I got arrested for possession and paraphernalia, things of that nature. My dad came, they bailed me out. And I was waiting to hear all of the horrible things that were going to have to happen while I waited to find out what was going to ultimately be my fate. And he said he just wanted me to bring my friends over and that we could talk about anything. And it didn't have to be religious. He was happy to talk about religion, but the only rule was we had to bring something to talk about. I talked my friends into coming with me. You know, none of them wanted to come. But within a few weeks, it was like they couldn't wait, and it grew from 5 to about 15 or 20. No, you know, they didn't treat me like I was more special or anything. They treated everyone like they were smart and welcome. And these were kids that my parents had every reason to believe were corrupting me, and they brought them into their home. And some of them lived with us for a while because they had gotten kicked out of their own homes. And so looking back as an adult and my parents' unwillingness to kick me out, even as bad as everything got, yeah, it was tough for them. They suffered through it, though, because they had to show me unconditional love, and they did.
Caleb, Ben, thank you so much.
By the way, that's the first, I was the first time I ever realized that you and Caleb were related. I knew both of you, both of your work, obviously, The Blaze and many other conservative sources, Ben Howe, Caleb Howe. I had no idea they were related.
By looking at our pictures, which one do you think is older? That's really
great one. Ben, thank you so much. Co-host of the Fifth Estate Show and the author of the new book, The Immoral Majority, Ben Howe. Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. It's strange to think that somewhere right now, there maybe in your neighborhood, there is a burglar. There is somebody that is looking at a house, and they're not casing it. They just want stuff now. And he's a man of fine tastes, if you will, this burglar. He will help himself to your television, whatever the finest is that you have. He will quickly latch on to that. He'll take that fine Xbox that maybe you bought your kid for Christmas. You know, all that sweet cash that has been cleverly hidden, you know, in your refrigerator, wherever your freezer, wherever it is, they will find it. And it's going to take them about 15 minutes from start to finish. And they know that 15 minutes, the cops don't come. The cops usually are there in 45 minutes, even if he sets off the alarm. Well, now things are changing because Simply Safe has state-of-the-art equipment that our burglar friend is not going to like or want to take a chance on, because our burglar friend knows that now he's got 7 minutes because you have video verification of someone in your house. Only Simply Safe offers this. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there. You'll get the free HD security camera when you order. It's a $100 value. You own the system, but you also own the burglar. When they are in your house, you got them. 7 minutes from 45-minute response time to the police to 7 minutes because you have SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. This Christmas, it's actually December 7th, it'll be a night that lives in infamy, at Kingsbury Hall in Salt Lake City. We announced today that I'm going to be coming to Salt Lake for one show only, and it's a Christmas story show. You're going to love it. It's the true meaning of Christmas in stories, laughs, no politics. If you use Blaze Media, all caps Blaze Media, you'll be able to buy your tickets that go on sale to the general public on Friday. But you can get them now. Find out all the details right now at glennbeck.com. That's glennbeck.com. We'll see you Salt Lake December 7th. All right, we want to cover a few things here. First of all, ice shooting yesterday. How come the media is not covering this? Where is this story? Also, what's happening in Portland this weekend? Another possible trigger. And a strange story that is not getting a lot of coverage because there's not a lot of information out yet, that we're going to be going through tonight at 5 o'clock, and I want to give you a preview of it, because if you've thought that maybe there was something going on with the Justice Department and FBI when it comes to Hillary Clinton and the lack of investigations with Russia, and then the rush to an investigation with Donald Trump, there may be some pretty solid evidence here that something is very rotten inside of the FBI and the Justice Department. And we'll get to that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, you know, when I was a kid, medicine was radically different. You know, your
hadn't
doctors
even been invented yet, had it?
Shut up. Doctors, you know, didn't just meet with somebody for 15 minutes. They actually knew us, and they'd get a real understanding of the problem. Some things, you know, like that were better back then. But that was also the time where they were like, your stomach hurts, huh? Well, let me schedule you for some exploratory surgery, and I'm going to cut you open and just see what's in there. Maybe a Tonka toy. I don't know. I remember hearing, yeah, they just sewed him back up. It was so bad, they just sewed him back up. Oh, my gosh. And that was normal when I was growing up. Now look at what we have. Now your DNA can tell you years in advance. Get your DNA kit from 23andme.com/Beck. It is so great. It was such a great family experience to be able to track our genes and to see where we were from. My son, who's adopted, he really loved this. Found out that he is, I think, 1.5 African. And he was very excited, because I was, I think I think I was 0.5 or 1 percent African. No, not African.
Native American.
American. Native American.
More. It was like, what, 1,000 times more Native American than Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. So it was really exciting. Mm-hmm. But there's other reasons to get this done. And one of them is we're not living in the time of exploratory surgeries anymore. Check out 23andMe right now. Find out your genetic traits. Find out where your ancestors are from. And find out, you know, the things without having to cut you open, what you probably should know about yourself. Order your health and ancestry kit at 23andme.com/Beck. 23andme.com/Beck. The number 23andme.com/Beck. Do it now. Welcome to Jason Buttrill, who is our chief researcher here on the Glenn Beck program, former military intelligence and a guy I depend on an awful lot when we're looking into things like Ilhan Omar and things where we have to where you need somebody who has done intel before to look in and really try to dig down and see what's going on. One of the things that we've followed for a long time is Russia and their cozy relationship with the Clintons, especially when it came to Gazprom. And we've done a lot of episodes on Gazprom. And why wasn't Clinton investigated? And what did the FBI actually had? They had literally a mountain of evidence showing that there is corruption in the United States. And yet it was never really pursued. I saw a story about a friend of mine, Patrick Byrne, who is the CEO of Overstock. This guy's a straight ahead libertarian. He doesn't pull any punches. He's not a political guy, does not get involved in, you know, Republican and Democrat. I think probably hates both sides or, you know, just is, you know, has antipathy for both sides equal. And I saw this story come out that he somehow or another has evidence that is now with the FBI because he was involved with the Gazprom investigation with the FBI and also with the Trump investigation of Russia. And for the life of me, as I'm reading it, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I sent it to Jason. I said, could you look into this? And I sent you several different stories that all kind of have to piece together. Can you tell me what this story is?
I think the majority of the people probably let this story slip by because you're thinking this is the Overstock CEO. So why would he know anything about this?
Yes.
And pretty much everyone just said, forget it. That interview where he mentioned that, it was on Fox Business, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the accusations were explosive. They really were. I mean, he was talking about, you know, people, you know, committing political espionage, and it was at the highest levels of the FBI. And he said that the information was about to come out. But he said that he was going to come out and release some of this information to a select few just to kind of get people on the right track. So they'll kind of like push the government, you know, if some of this, you know, information came out. Well, right after he made these claims, he pretty much went radio silent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the claims, like you said, they said he claimed that he was at the very center of the beginnings of the Russia probe and the Clinton investigation. Now, he didn't go into any of the inside, you know, information Clinton. About the Clinton information. So we're kind of left to guess on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, we were left to guess on the Russia probe stuff. But we did some digging around. Now, he did an interview that same day. This was on August the 12th. He did an interview that same day. It was not on camera. It was just a sit-down interview with an investigative journalist. And he started talking about how he got into a relationship with do you remember the Maria Butina case?
She was the Russian that was supposedly a spy that had gotten in with the NRA and everybody
right.
else.
Right. They were trying
and there was really something fishy about the whole thing.
We talked about it, I believe, on this show that I was like, this is insane that you're calling this woman a Russian spy. I mean, has tradecraft gotten that bad even since I got out of the intelligence community? Because if it has, I mean, we have nothing to fear from the Russians at all.
She was very public, right? A very public figure.
Yeah, she was
at least wanted to be.
The least. She was a very public figure in Russia. The Russians hated her because they were leery of her because she was all about... I guess libertarianism is a thing over in Russia. Who knew?
Kind of. Not the way we would understand it, but on some things, kind of.
Gun rights,
yeah.
Religious liberty.
Yeah.
That's what she was a spokesman for, and she would attend conferences, all that. That brought her over here to the States, and she wanted to reach out to libertarian-minded people on the issues that she believed in, so that she could like make a link up between the people in Russia and people over here to say, hey, look, you know, we're not all like crazies like Putin. You know, we can find some common ground. We have some things in common. So she reaches out to Patrick Byrne in 2015, and they got into a little relationship. Now, Patrick, he has a security clearance for some work he did with the Council on Foreign Relations. And he was like, hey, there's this Russian, you know, chick reaching out to me. She's wanting me to go to Russia and meet up with some Russian officials. This freaks me out. So he tells the FBI.
Now, think of this. I want you to know this. I like Patrick. I trust Patrick. This is the kind of guy he is. He's approached by somebody and she's approaching him in a way romantically, isn't she?
A little flirtatious. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And he just is like, well, I don't know. She's from Russia. I'm going to check. He values his security clearance. And so he calls the FBI to say, look, do you have anything on her? She is talking to me. She seems to be interested in me. And she wants me to go over to Russia. And they say what?
They say, go right ahead. No issues here whatsoever. They say, quote, this is a direct quote, she's been looked into and she is, quote, fine. So go off and do whatever you want. Your security clearance is not in jeopardy. No big deal. No harm, no foul.
Okay.
So he does. So he continues. And the relationship got intimate. Right from the get-go. And he was still a straight shooter about it. He was still leery of her. He continued to report to the FBI, even though they told him not to. And he especially started reporting when she started making comments like, you know, I really want to get into, you know, close relationships with certain candidates. Marco Rubio was mentioned. Hillary Clinton was also mentioned. Basically, anyone that they thought might have power in the next few years, she was trying to get some kind of relationship with, so she could speak to them.
And so he is having a relationship, but he's, you know, I think like any decent human being that's an American citizen is like, okay, I'm not sure. I mean, it seems weird, but it seems okay as well. Are you sure? So he calls the FBI several times.
Yes.
And says, she's saying these things to me. Are you sure she's okay?
And not only that, she's telling me she's meeting with, this is just an example, an aide for Hillary Clinton on this day at this place at this time. Are you guys interested in that? Nothing. FBI was not interested. Yeah, but she's meeting with this person who's the head of this person at this time at this hotel. They didn't care. They did not care. So he was like, whatever. So he continued his relationship. Eventually, it dies down. We're getting close to the actual presidential election now. I didn't really say how close, but I'm assuming within months of the actual election. Then the FBI calls him. He's not in a relationship with her anymore. He hardly talks to her. FBI contacts him and says, now we want you to re-up that relationship. You know, remember that girl? Well, go ahead and rekindle that relationship and do what you were doing before. Let us know what she was doing. So he's a straight shooter. He's absolutely, I'll do it. So he does it, helps the FBI. But this time he says, guys, I know that I'm not telling you anything you already know, but she's not a spy. She's not the next coming of Anna Chapman. She is just literally what she says. Now I know all the people she's talking to. This is what she is. So this is
because he got to know her.
Got to know
because her. They said, get to know her.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong. So he did. And because he still had the questions in his head, he's doing his own research with her and he's meeting the people she's saying over in Russia. And he's smart enough to figure out, is this a spy situation? Is this an infiltration of America? He knows it's not. So when they call him back, he now is at a place where he's like, no, I had the relationship. She's not a spy.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But the feds wanted to paint her as one anyway. So they, for reasons we can get to in a minute, they paint her as a actual like clandestine like honeypot spy. That's what they paint her as. They want to charge her with espionage. And then I don't want to put words or thoughts into his mind or mouth, but I mean, he's got to be thinking, what are you doing? This is I gave you exculpatory evidence, witness testimony. This is not what she's all about. And I've been a straight shooter here. You know,
and for some reason you didn't have a problem when she was meeting with Hillary Clinton. But now for some reason you're very interested in her when she's involved with the NRA and she's involved with Donald Trump.
And that's where the media frenzy hit. They showed pictures of her at the National Prayer Breakfast at the NRA convention. They picked it up, ran with it. Now, this exculpatory evidence that he gave them never made it to court. It never made it. And Butina's lawyers are furious. They just recently, a few weeks ago, sent a letter saying, what the heck is going on? How could we requested by law, you have to put this in the exculpatory evidence into the record. They never did. That is just missing. It was never there.
Now, he said something interesting in this one interview that he gave. I think it was to Sarah Carter. And he said, Bob Barr is a submarine. And he's headed for the deep state ship right now. And he's the only guy that is going to do anything about it. And right now he's headed for a collision course and he's going to hit that ship and sink the deep state ship. He says Bob Barr is our greatest hope on this because of what he says the FBI is doing apparently now. We'll get into that in just a second. And more on this tonight. You don't want to miss it. 5 o'clock tonight, only on the Blaze TV. You get Mark Levin. You get Steven Crowder. You get my show. All of them. You get the radio show every day. You can get it at blazetv.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code Glenn, you're going to save 10% on it right now for your first year. So sign up with us. Become a member of the team. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. Back in 60 seconds. You know, there used to be a time when it was perfectly normal to walk into a place of business and bring what you wanted to purchase to the counter and then plunk down a piece of gold as a method of payment. That doesn't really happen anymore. But the good news is it still can. Gold is legal tender. It still can. You just have to not look at the face value because it says $20. That coin's not worth $20 anymore. It was. And if our dollar was still slave to gold, it still would be $20. But because we have inflated our money, that's not worth $20 anymore. In other words, gold is worth the same thing. Your dollar isn't worth as much. Your dollar used to be $20 in gold. Now it's thousands of dollars for that ounce. Gold is really important when things go crazy, and gold prices are on a bull run right now. Lower interest rates, easing of monetary policy has helped make gold and silver prone to a rally, and it has been rallying. By the way, if you don't think you need the protection of gold, has anybody seen the stock market down almost 600 points at this point? Call Goldline now. Please call Goldline and have just a portion of your money in gold or silver. Goldline.com. Call them at 866-GOLDLINE. 866-GOLDLINE. Give them a call. Ask them about their legal tender bars. If you do, you're going to qualify for the exclusive Mind Your Business Silver Bar that will be sent to you as a bonus. The phrase Mind Your Business was made popular by Ben Franklin, something we talked about on the show. It was on our first coin. And it wasn't, hey, shut up, mind your own business. It was, mind your business. Take care of your business. Mind your pennies and your dollars. Watch what you're doing. That's a really good reminder right now. Call Goldline at 866-GOLDLINE. Operators are standing by right now. They're waiting for your call. They're not going to talk you into anything. You just ask them for information. Do your own homework. You're smart enough to figure it out if gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. 10 seconds, station ID. Thank you. So what do we think that Bob Barr is doing with this information? And is Patrick coming out? Patrick wrote to me this morning and he said, you know, I can't talk about it any more than I already have. But I will call you as soon as I have something like more to say or something like that, which is interesting to me. I wonder if Patrick is working with the FBI or leaking some of this stuff out to get the FBI to move.
That would be that would be my guess.
Mine too.
And it's interesting that he didn't comment further. So I'm wondering if he was made to stop commenting. Pure speculation. But it's interesting to
you
come
can't
out.
Be made to stop talking, can you?
I mean, I guess they could.
They could ask you, but they can't make you stop talking.
I don't know if he signed what he signed when he agreed to work with them. I don't even know how that works.
I don't either.
But I think it sounded very voluntary. His involvement. I think that we should, if this sounds very credible, It's been verified on a few levels, some unnamed sources, and the DOJ and FBI have not denied this. They have just said,
I know Patrick, he's not a guy to make this up. He has nothing to gain and everything to lose.
So as this sounds so credible, and to go back to your question about what is Barr doing, he also said he was involved with the Clinton investigation. I don't know how that even happened, but if he was involved with the Russia probe and the Clinton investigation, well, we do know that the DOJ under Barr it sounds like they're looking into the Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation scandals, how all that went, you know, connected with each other. We know last year, do you remember that informant that the FBI had that basically
brain cancer?
That died of brain cancer. He said a few months ago, I guess it was March of last year, he was tired of being, you know, thrown under the bus by Democrats. And he said, look, this is ridiculous that you guys are throwing
me
under the
bus.
Democrat. Was he?
I think he was.
But he was furious. He was irate because it was like, I gave up a ton of my life to this investigation. Now I'm in hiding. I think they leaked his name. He was even more furious about that because he wanted to be completely anonymous. But he said, but what he did leak was he said, well, the FBI has actually come back to me. They've come back to me. They've asked me more questions, and they focus specifically on the Clinton Foundation payments that were received by Russians during that entire scandal.
And what the Clintons did, Congress did, is they called him and then they made fun of him and said, "Well, you don't remember because you got a brain tumor."
Right, right.
And he was furious about that. Yeah. How dare you? You are the people that we trusted with the ADA thing.
Yeah.
You're the ones who say you look after the most vulnerable. I have a brain tumor medical condition and it's not causing me to forget stuff and you're accusing me of this?
Right.
I mean, he had every reason to be upset. So we pray for the good guys in our Justice Department, and if that's Bob Barr, who I think it is. Do you think Bob Barr is a good guy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I have a reason.
Whoever is trying to clean things up and set the record straight on all of this stuff, we pray for you and we salute you for your duty and your service to your nation. Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, imagine for a moment you're sitting at your computer. Maybe you're checking your email. Maybe you're looking up recipes for the week or, you know, just trying to change hearts and minds by posting your latest philosophical epiphany on Twitter. Whatever it is, think about somebody standing behind you and watching over your shoulder. Imagine everything that you did. Even if you're not doing anything wrong, it's just somebody looking over your shoulder the whole time. How long would it be before you'd say, "Knock it off"? Well, that's what you need to do. Google, Facebook, everybody else that is tracking you online. Knock it off. And you can do it by using Norton.com/VPN, the virtual private network from Norton. A virtual private network is the thing you always see in like Mission Impossible movies where they can never find out where they are. A virtual private network ghosts you, so nobody is gathering information on you. Prices and protection starts at $3.33 a month for the first year with annual enrollment. It's at Norton.com/VPN. Terms do apply. Norton.com/VPN.
Want to see Glenn live for Christmas in Salt Lake City? Go to glennbeck.com. Get all the information on how you can get tickets for December 7th in Salt Lake.
Welcome to the program, Kevin Ryan. Kevin is one of our writers on the Glenn Beck program, glennbeck.com, The Blaze. And I think we should offer him combat pay for this, but we sent him out to Iowa, and you were with the candidates over the weekend. How many times did you see these guys?
So we saw 11 candidates over the course of 4 days. Saw all the front runners four times. Saw Kamala Harris five times.
Oof. Oh my God.
Yeah, and in a ton of different settings. So they're there for the Iowa State Fair, but they're moving around quite a bit. And I think I went with my dad. He
oh wow.
He came with me. You met my dad.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Irish. And so it was kind of, he was sort of taking in the whole scene in this this way of puzzlement, really.
We're looking forward to your reports. We're going to be on glennbeck.com. He's got a lot of behind the scenes stories. But you were there when Biden said, hey, poor kids are just as good as white kids.
That's right. Yeah. Just as talent. I forget what his wording, but it was a very sloppy either or. And
yeah, that's one way of putting it. Yeah.
From the moment he walked in the room, he was pretty sleepy. Like he seemed sleepy, like he was tired. And
he saw multiple times. Was that a recurring situation with him, or was it just that one speech?
Just that one speech.
Okay. Yeah. So here he is. Here's what he said in that speech.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids.
I love the one person
kids.
Who claps. It wasn't you, was it?
Kids.
Oh, God.
Okay, really good.
Yeah, no.
Because there's that one person that's like, yeah!
That's right.
Poor kids aren't white kids! Woo!
And the audience in general was receptive of it.
How many people were in the room?
It was a small room. It was actually at a plumbers union that the event was held. I'd say there were about 140 people there.
All with plumbers crack.
It's yeah,
all right.
For sure.
Okay,
including the media. Yeah.
Wait, 140 people. What's the breakdown between actual people and media? Just they're covering it.
There were probably 60 media there.
60 media out of 140 people at the event.
Wow,
that's incredible.
Wow,
and that story was not everywhere. I mean, that was picked up by The Blaze. I know. Mm-hmm. I think Fox News might have picked it up, but it wasn't widely reported that he messed up like that.
Not at all. I think if someone from Fox News hadn't been there, it would not have gotten reported at all. Because it sort of slowly trickled into a story.
Mm-hmm. Where it would have been a firestorm. They would have been reporting live.
Yeah.
If it was Donald Trump, they would have gone live with that.
For sure.
We're joining him already in progress where he just said this. That's what they would have done. Mm. But they didn't do it here. So you said the crowd didn't have a problem with that.
No, and he adjusted to it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, he realized he did it.
He was very aware of what he just said.
Mm. What was your, give me, because you got to see 11 candidates. Mm-hmm. There's 26 in the field now. So almost half the candidates in 4 days, saw many of them multiple times. We get this impression when we're watching, you know, a debate, of what these candidates are like. What are they like in the room? Who works the room really well?
Kamala Harris. That's the one I walked away with the most. Saw her five times, in part because she just
like
hustles.
The Grateful Dead.
She hustles.
Yeah.
She's like the Grateful Dead. Kamala.
Like
all right, this is my fifth time seeing you.
Right?
Woo!
After seeing these candidates this many times, you become the Grateful to be dead.
Yeah,
if you can just pull it, you're begging for it.
She's the most, would you say she just knows how to work a room, or she's the most authentic?
Definitely not the most authentic. The opposite, almost. Like, she knows how to read a room so well. She knows what to say. She also hustles so much, and she needs that job. She has that that fire in her eyes. Biden's like, yeah, I'll probably get this. You know, he's...
Boy, that's what happened to Clinton.
Exactly.
Clinton lost.
That's interesting.
Remember, Clinton in 08 had the same attitude, mm-hmm. That she was just going to stroll in. It was her turn, and Obama took it from her.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. So Kamala works the room well. Mm-hmm. Biden, a little tired occasionally, but also...
Does he seem fully there? 'Cause
yeah, did you see?
He seems like, and I've never felt this way about him until the last maybe year or so, where he seems like he's kind of slipping a bit.
He has the gravitas that you expect from a president. Mm-hmm. And you don't really see it in many people, you know, that it's that suction energy.
Yeah.
As soon as he walks in the room, everybody moves toward him.
Mm.
Kamala Harris has it even more so. She
That's
knows
interesting.
That we were seeing Yang at a winery. Yeah. One time.
But you might want to rephrase that. That didn't...
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yang.
I was at a winery and we were showing Wang.
Investigative journalism.
Yeah. Were you just drinking? Is that what was happening? Okay, so you saw Yang. He's at Andrew Yang at a winery.
And Kamala Harris had just spoken, and she waited until he started speaking. She was sitting in the front row, and right after he began talking, she got up and walked out of the room, and half of the media went with her, and half of the room went with her. Like, it was a definite
power play.
She's
cold as ice, man. Kamala Harris would, I mean, she's surgical.
Yeah,
she
definitely.
Is,
yeah, she'll slit your throat.
She does not care.
For sure.
And you saw that with Biden, right? I mean, yes. You know, that was on the debate stage. I mean, that's an amazing move, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're walking out in the middle of the guy's speech. There's a decorum. You don't do that, right?
No.
Kamala doesn't care.
She doesn't. And she stayed outside of the building, too. She kept walking around. There's these huge glass windows.
And she's doing this to Andrew Yang. Imagine what she's going to do to Biden.
Oh, my gosh. So how was Bernie?
Bernie was interesting. The first time I saw Bernie was
yes.
at a Mexican disco.
A Mexican disco.
Yeah, it was this little room with a tiny bar, and we'd been there two nights before to see Castro, and when we saw Castro, there was actually a bouncy castle inside.
That's such a weird way to elect a leader.
It was very strange.
Yeah,
and it was like, but I didn't see Bernie was captivating. There, people were drawn to him. And he was really the only one I saw who drew protesters. So, like, at the Iowa State Fair, there were a lot of people with, you know, Trump signs and a lot of MAGA hats. And
really?
Yes. And there was, like, a small area. There were a lot of people there, but I'd say...
Misplaced energy, I think.
Yeah, Bernie's he's sinking
Bernie,
himself. He doesn't
yeah,
need
he's
any
sinking
help.
Himself, and you kind of want him to be the candidate against Donald Trump. He'd be the easiest to beat.
You think so?
I do.
Bernie?
I don't know. I mean,
no, you put him up.
I don't see how anyone could elect him. But I mean, Elizabeth Warren is really custom made for Trump. I feel like that.
How did she do?
She did very well. She did better than Biden did, surprisingly.
Well, the new poll shows her down from Biden 1 point.
1 point, yeah.
She really surprised me. My dad's reaction to Elizabeth Warren, and he hadn't been really keeping up with the candidates at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he just knew her name. But we walked into, it was a fundraiser that we walked into. So very friendly crowd, packed room. It was actually the ballroom where Buddy Holly played his last show.
Oh, wow.
So my dad turned to me and he was like, "What's wrong with this lady? I don't like her at all."
She does not come off as likable.
She's not.
She doesn't. She comes. There's a lot of similarities to Hillary. I mean, that's why I'm so surprised Democrats are running in this direction. There's so many similarities.
Well, they want a woman, and then the Marxists want a Marxist.
But I mean, you have Kamala Harris. Right, who's a much better package for a candidate than
Warren is. But I think she is.
She's a little bit more sensible on certain things, like Israel and
right, I think she is seen as the Clintons. You know, what did you really get with Bill Clinton? You got a guy who stood up and said the era of big government is over and actually moved in that direction. So they kind of, the ideologues on the left, they don't like the typical Democratic politician. And while Kamala Harris is not that person, she's closer to it
than Bernie or
right.
Warren.
Where Warren, you have no doubt, Warren's going to get in and she's going to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Or Woodrow she's going to try.
As you pointed out
she's
last
Woodrow
night.
She's Woodrow Wilson. Mm-hmm. She'll get it done if she can. And that's what they, I think that's what they want.
Anybody else surprise you? Any other interesting lower tier candidates you saw?
Yang was interesting. At that same event I just mentioned, Jay Inslee was there. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where they kind of blended in with the crowd after. And they were talking to everybody. Kamala Harris went through with like a huge entourage of media and people wanting selfies. And Jay Inslee was there. And I turned my
and he was offering and, selfies.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. I said, hey, Dad, will you take a picture of him? And he's like, which one? He didn't know.
I didn't even know who the candidate was.
Jay Inslee had none of that energy, none of that suction energy. So it's like, and Yang was interesting because he was just hanging out.
He actually seems like a
normal guy.
I
actually kind of like him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. He seems like the guy you could hang with and have a conversation with. And I've never heard him like use the typical Democratic messaging of that side is racist. Those people don't like these policies because they want to hurt poor people. He doesn't talk like that. He disagrees with conservatives, but I've never seen him be anything other than respectful to them.
Who do you think was the most authentic?
Probably Yang. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bennett was interesting too, but I think Yang was the most interesting. And I think Bernie was authentic in that he believes what he's saying.
Yes.
I admire that.
Mm-hmm. But he says a lot of things that aren't true. He's authentic, but he lies a lot, which is weird. It's a weird combination. I think it's actually his combination, though. Yeah. He's an authentic liar because he says a lot of things that just flat out are not true about the policies. But he authentically believes that I think they're better for America and that he's a true believer in socialism. He's not one of these people who's, you know, I think there's an element of Harris, and this might be what you're talking about. There's an element of Harris that is embracing these far left policies because she thinks it's the way to win the primary. That's not Warren or Sanders. You know, Warren and Sanders are
believers,
true believers, along with, you know, a few of the other, you know, lower tier candidates. But those two are like, I mean, they're second and third in the field, and they are legit true believer socialists. And that is that's a dramatic thing for this country because one of they've already talked about having an alliance on the debate stage, like let's not attack each other until it gets further down the road. You know, one of them drops out. The other one is the front runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think the Bernie people will go to Warren?
I'm not sure who they'll go to. They could just as easily go to Trump, you know, that's
yeah. The Bernie thing is weird. Like with that, because there's a lot of Bernie energy that it's Bernie exclusive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cult of personality with Bernie. And I think some of those people who voted for Bernie in the primary dropped out and didn't vote for anybody in the general.
Some of them did vote for Trump.
Yeah. And some of them did vote for Trump.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
It's good to join you guys.
Kevin Ryan, will you look for his work at glennbeck.com? More in just a second. First, let me tell you about Tecovas boots. Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, is a man who served his country for several years. He was a paratrooper. When he was, he wore heavy black rubber pressurized boots that came with the trade. Looking back, he can sometimes still feel them cushioning his feet as he landed on the ground, protecting him from the elements as he made his way through all manner of rough terrain. The days of death-defying stunts are fading into the distance behind him, and these days, the boots on his feet look a lot different, but they still protect. These, however, also look really sharp. They're Tecovas boots, still comfortable, and they had the added element of style that he finds a little more, you know, telegraphing to the world of the kind of man he is and the man he has become. Tecovas boots, they're all made by hand by the best bootmakers, and they come in the exotic forms of leather, every kind, and they're about half the price of a similar quality boot. They have an easy and accurate process with free shipping and free returns. I wear the boots. You should try the boots. They're boots with character. Find your pair now at Tecovas.com/Beck. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. It's Tecovas.com. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Tonight, an expose that I think you need to hear about the Clinton investigation, the Trump-Russia investigation, the FBI. something is not right, and we have additional information that you're not hearing on mainstream media, and we will cover it tonight at 5 o'clock only on Blaze TV. You don't want to miss it. What have we not covered today, or what do we need to cover again? Tomorrow, I want to talk to you again about Hong Kong tomorrow. As I've been watching these images, I've got all the televisions in front of me, and as I've been watching them today as we've been doing the show, I am reminded of Martin Luther King, Gandhi. It's the same thing. And they're doing the same thing he was doing. Go ahead. Let them beat us. Let them beat us with their clubs, their billy clubs. Let them sick the dogs on us. Because the West will wake up. Good people will wake up and say, hey, 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 hey. It worked for Gandhi. It worked for Martin Luther King. I'm not sure it's going to work this time. I'm not sure it's going to work this time.
You've lost all faith in humanity, too? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I just know. I think we've painted ourselves into a corner where we're just weak. We're just very weak. China is strong, you know, and we're playing a game of chicken. And look at, we had one bank, we had Bank of America come out yesterday and say we now have a 1 in 3 chance of a recession in the next year, which may not even manifest itself in a way that you recognize for 2 years. And our stock market is down 600 points. I mean, that's how fragile this is. Yesterday, we were up 400 points because of the trade deal with China. Today, down 600 points. I'm not sure anybody really knows how stable this situation is.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.